Hello and welcome to the Wild Wormhole, where much like the card, you just never know what you're gonna get. I'm D House here with Jay Bray, Jim Braden. What's up, Jim?
It is so good to be here, my friend.
We're finally recording another podcast. It's been a while.
It has.
It's been a minute.
I feel like it's been like a weird kind of in-between period where like all of us are just so excited for Mass Mutation. It's like waiting for Christmas. Like, nobody does anything the 2 weeks before Christmas, except now it's Christmas Eve. Cookies are at the fireplace, glass of milk ready, because it's here, baby.
Heck yeah. So we were just talking. We're like, man, we have to put an episode out on the eve of Mass Mutation because we're so excited. We may not have been pushing out podcasts, but we've been playing a ton of KeyForge recently. Really, like, since it really picked up for us in, like, what, like April, when we decided we were going to grind it out for Shadow Worlds?
Yeah, definitely. Right around there. And then since then, we've been playing pretty much every week, whether it's in competitive scene or just with our local scene as well. Yeah, it's been a lot of KeyForge. Yeah. Right. Online, but like with friends.
Yeah. So. But I even told Jim I felt a little bad because so FFG did a live stream showing off some Mass Mutation, and somebody asked the question of their favorite, like, KeyForge podcast, and they mentioned Bouncing Death Quark, which no longer records, and wouldn't you know it, the Wild Wormhole.
That was the shocker of 2020 right there, but man, are we honored.
So I was like, oh gosh, now I feel bad that we haven't recorded in a bit, but if people went to YouTube, they'd see some stuff up there. We've put a lot of stuff on YouTube. I say we. Really, Jim, you haven't done anything. You made me do all the work.
If you want to give me credit for, like, this is a group project right now, and you are definitely the team leader, and I am very appreciative for that A+. So,
but anyways, I was like, man, we definitely need to get something out there before we get all our decks. And so, like, speaking of decks, what are your plans for tomorrow? What are you doing to celebrate Mass Mutation's release?
Step one, waking up at 3:30 a.m. because I won't be able to hide my excitement. Step two, wait until noon because that's when our local game store opens. And I'm going to get a box. Nothing too crazy, but definitely like want to get a good amount of decks. I'm actually going to share with a friend of mine. So we're both going to do 6 decks each. So that's what I'll start with. But I still very much plan to like playing some sealed events, things like that, to kind of accrue a collection. But yeah, I figured start with 6. What about yourself?
Yeah, so like every other set that's come out, I've like started with, I think Call to Archons, I may have started with like 6, and then AOA it was like 4, and like Worlds Collide, I did the release event and grabbed a couple more, like, so I started with like 3 because we're having like weekly chain bounds, and it was just like I kind of liked the whole like, hey, one deck a week, open it, mess around with it, throw it on TCO. And then, I don't know, man. We've just been loving this game so much recently. It went in today. And I actually went to pick up the Doctor Strange Marvel Champs pack because it's just an amazing game. But I tried to get them to, like, hook me up with Mass Mutations, like, a day early. It's like, come on, just nobody has to know. It's fine. I won't tell anybody. But they stood their ground, but I was able to prepay, for tomorrow because, for reasons, but they were like, how many you want? And I was like, well, that's a loaded question. I want all of them. So, thankfully a couple weeks ago was Father's Day and I've got 2 kids and my wife's like, what do you want for Father's Day? And I was like, well, the main thing is I want a lot of KeyForge decks, please.
Oh yeah.
And she reluctantly agreed, and so I bought a box, and I've never bought that many decks at one time, so I don't know how I'm gonna open it. Like, I don't know if I'm gonna open all of them at first, or if I'm gonna like tease it out like one a day, or if I'm just gonna like give in to the sugar rush and just like open them all in like an hour. I don't know.
I mean, you know me. The moment I get my hands on them, they just magically appear open, and it's like, what just happened? I think my game plan, so you and I are actually meeting up and we're gonna try to play a couple games, which would be pretty fun, but I think I'm gonna open up 2 to start with. It's kind of my game plan, and then meeting up with my buddy Kevin, who we're sharing the box with, and I'll probably do 2 more there, and then open up the other two throughout the week, probably. Just, you know, when you just having a rough day and you just need to see some more Keyforge in your life, it's just a good opportunity.
I know, right? So, what?
So that's my plan.
Like, this is like the shining gold star on the putrid year this 2020 has been. You know, like, we finally got some good news. Like, we got mass mutation decks. Eat it, COVID. So, yeah, I'm very excited. Because, I need new stuff to look at. And I think I heard somewhere, maybe it was in the live stream, where it's possible to get a card that's, like, enhanced with five pips of stuff. And now I'm like, oh, now I need to find that deck. I need to find a deck with a card that's been enhanced five times with, you know, just lets you auto win a game. And then, yeah, it's going to be great. So I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm just going to play it by ear and just kind of go with the flow. But I'm excited to go into the weekend and figure it out. Play some games with you, and it's going to be great.
Oh, has to be. Yeah, even if we get like 30 rated decks, we would not care. It's just new Keyforge, new excitement, like, we're in. So yeah, it's gonna be awesome.
Well, and that's the crazy thing too, because like I love decks at Keyforge, and I love SAS. Like, I am a super fan of the rating system because it's been consistent in my experience. I know some people disagree, whatever, but like right now it is kind of crazy because of the way that the Master Vault is, it doesn't tell you like what cards are actually enhanced. It just, well, it tells you what cards are enhanced, but it doesn't tell you with what. And so, like, in order to actually know what's in the deck, like, I leave a lot of decks in the plastic until I'm ready to play them. And now, or, like, I'll play them online. But now I'm like, I have to physically open, I have to crack the plastic open just to find what cards, you know, what extra pips are actually on those cards, which is, like, sort of a cheeky move. I don't know if it was intentional by FFG, but it's, you know, it's going to be interesting to like have to actually dig into them and see what kind of craziness awaits. I sent you a tweet by one of the guys from Archons of Atlanta. He was trying to say, hey, you know, tweet your card with the craziest pips. And he had a Gray Rider with two damage pips and a draw card pip. And I was like, that's cool.
Ooh.
That's cool.
That is very nice.
Yeah.
I have some ideas for some funny ones. I was thinking of like an Infernace with amber pips, like the reverse Infernace, where it's like, oh, not only do I, you know, steal all of yours from your deck or your discard pile, like, I also get some on the side too, like just this OP Infernace just wreaking havoc on everyone.
Yeah if Infernace comes with like capture pips too, could like like you've got like four amber, feeling pretty good, and then Infernace drops and kills two of it and captures two or something.
One like, card just like end your hopes and dreams. Sorry, bud.
Yeah. I mean, it's just good. It just, I love having unique cards. Like, as a team, we own that, you know, Bayou Overlord with the Saurian Maverick key charge. And it's like, wow, it feels great to know that, as far as I know, we're the only people in the world who have a Saurian key charge. You know, like, that's spicy with Brockus, no less. But, I love the idea of having a card that nobody else has. It makes these types of games feel really special to me. And I can't wait to like show off the weird enhanced cards that we get.
Yeah, absolutely. It's such a fun time. And if anybody wants to sell their 5-time Rad Penny deck to me instead of Dave Cordera, that would be fantastic. I'm in. I just want it. That'd be great.
Can you outbid him? That's the question though.
No, but no.
No, but no.
But still no.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But we could have really fun conversations on the Wild Wormhole about the 5 Red Penny deck if you want to sell it to us. Right.
I was curious about your comment earlier. I'm looking to see if there are any other key charge Saurian decks.
Are there?
That's what I'm looking for looking? Now.
Yeah. So that's.
Ooh, I did find one. They do not have Senator Brockus, of course. But it is a 70 rated deck. It's seen a little bit of play, so it has some stats on that sucker. It's 3-1. Shout out to the Saurian key charge there. Let's see what else we have.
Yeah, it's the Brockus that does it, man. When you can key charge with all the exalting and capturing and all that, just you can literally forge keys with no amber in your pool, just all the amber on your guys. It's like, that's insane. Speaking of which, Brockus, I want a deck with Brockus in it for Mass Mutations because there's so much capture in the set. Holy cow, that thing is going to be potentially nasty.
Agreed. I feel like there's not as many ways to protect your Exalted Amber this set. And so much board control. So to me, sorry, it just feels so dangerous, but man, is it spicy.
Yeah, you of the two of us, you've done way more homework and research than I have. I'm
probably to an extent, like, I'm not proud of the amount of time that I've looked at these cards at this point.
Yeah, I've pretty much just relied on your opinions. I'm not against spoilers, but there's a level which, like, I do just enjoy playing games with a new set. Like, I've never seen the stuff before. I'm putting on the table and actually having to read the card and be like, oh, wow, this is great. So, like, on TCO, I played some games. I probably played maybe 5 or 6 total Mass Mutation games on the TCO with the print and play decks just to get a feel for it. But that's pretty much it. So I'm very excited. I may have put more time into it if there was like a big event coming up, like a vault tour or, you know, something like that. But obviously COVID and its lameness prevents us from doing so. So I'm excited to jump in and learn and see what the heck Mass Mutations is about. But let's come back to that. I want to jump into a couple of things before we get into Mass Mutations, because we mentioned we've been playing a bit in person, you and I, but we're also continuing to play online in a couple things, one of which being the KeyForge online team event, KOTE, if you see that online. I don't know how we missed the first 4 seasons of this, but we finally figured it out in season 5. You come in with your 3-person team, and every season there's been like different stipulations, and I think there were like 95 teams signed up for this fifth season of KeyForge online team events, which I'm thinking, man, that's just shy of 300 people for a random team league online right now, like after a set's been out for like 8 months and the set's delayed. Like, that's fairly impressive.
Yeah, that's incredible, especially with like how big like the Shadows World Tournament was. I think that was 75 teams.
Yeah,
and yeah, this is now,
and people didn't qualify for that, and they would probably it'd probably be even bigger if they, you know.
Sure.
So that yeah, stuff like that. I'm like, there's just a random team league that has 300 people playing in it. Like, KeyForge is living well online right now, and even in the midst of COVID. Thank goodness for the developers at TCO doing what they do to make sure that we can play all our fancy toys on there. this particular league is the stipulation is, so of your 3 team decks, it's a maximum 200 SAS score, so 200 max over 3 decks, which averages out to, you know, I'm really good at math, but I think that's 66, right?
Yeah. It's like 66.66666 repeating.
Yeah. School. So you and I got together with a new teammate for Team Wormhole, Camden, and we just started putting our heads together, like, what do we want to do for this? And Camden, the new guy, said one of his favorite decks is this old Coda deck that's a 49 SAS. And
which is, yeah, it's so crazy. He was like, oh, I don't even care what the like stipulation is. I want to play this deck. Like, he was just like, I want to play this 49 rated deck. And don't worry, guys, I'll win with it. We're just like, that is a bold like coming out party there, boss.
Yeah, so he busts us. And we looked at the deck. Like, we looked at the cards. Like, the cards, like, it's not flashy, but we're looking at, there's like triple, it had Mars, and I remember it had triple Ulic, Mega Mouth. Mm-hmm. So there's like some good house cheating in there. I think there was a doorstep, maybe. I don't remember specifically, but anyway, so he did this, which left us 151 points to work with between you and me, and you wanted to play the hotness.
Arcellus. Yeah, I went straight for like the, well, if you're going to give me a bone here, like, I'm going to go 77. David, you have fun with the rest of that. So yeah, it's like a time traveler. It's a pretty fast deck. I've never been able to play one like that competitively, so I just wanted to give it a shot, and it's been fun. I enjoy it quite a lot. It doesn't have any sort of amber control, so it's very much just let me race you first, which is I'm normally much more of a control, grinded out tile player. So to me, that was kind of a fun switch up to just completely change my Keyforge mentality.
Yep. Yeah, which left me like, I don't remember what, I think I had like 73 points or whatever. And, there were a couple decks I was considering, but Camden, like bringing in his collection, had an interesting deck, Dr. F. Dr. F came with three wild wormholes. And I was like, well, how do I not play this? I mean, I have to play a triple wormhole deck. In this team event. So so it's like it's got Logos and Saurian and some untamed stuff in there. And it's been really fun. So we've been competing that. We won our first match matchup. I lost my game, but you two won your game.
Camden clutched it out with the game 3 49 sass win. Amazing. Which we were just like, oh, you won? Huh.
Yeah. It's like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah, that's good.
That was incredible. Yeah, so we played Team Exalted, and I mean, they were just awesome people. So fun to talk with them, like, after every single game. And, yeah, just so cool of them to help put on this event, too. And, yeah, so a lot of fun.
Yep. And so we're in the middle of week 2 right now. I just played my match today and got the dub, which felt good. And Camden lost his, so we're waiting on you to win yours. Bring it home.
Yeah, that's a lot of pressure that I'm not used to. Okay, I'm the fun person on this team, not the like, hey, Jim, go clutch out this win for us, man. So we'll see what happens.
You're the fun guy who brought a time traveler to a... Yeah, okay. Yeah,
hey, okay. We're all having fun, guys. Hey.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Sorry for that very poor Mario sound there. I don't know what that was.
Hey, it's Mario. Hey, but great thing, because I always tell new players, like, Keyforge is basically the card game version of Mario Kart. You're racing 3 laps, trying to get the three keys, and you're playing dirty the whole time. So, you know, it's fine.
You love that analogy so much.
It's fine. Time Traveler is like a golden mushroom. You know, you hit that mushroom, and you're like...
Hold on. You're like, the golden mushroom is the best? Okay, we need to talk about your Mario Kart.
No, I didn't say the best. I said it makes you go fast because you're drawing all the cards. Okay. You're like, boom, 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 boom. You know?
I'll give it to you.
You know? Worlds Collide Brobnar is like the single green. No, it's like a single banana. Let's be honest.
All right. I'll give you triple mushroom for the time traveler, but library access is definitely the golden mushroom.
Okay, fine.
Yes! Got the win. All right, that's all I needed.
Yeah. World's Clyde Brobnar is a single banana.
Absolutely.
Like, every once in a while it might hit, but, you know, it's awesome.
Code of Mars is the green turtle shell.
No way. That's Sanctum. Oh. It's totally Sanctum.
Okay, we're going to have to fight about this one later.
I feel like we've had this conversation before, but...
There are some good Coda decks with Mars. However...
Cartier.
As much...
Best deck in the world. So
your experience has been good Mars Coda. For most people who dealt with that, it was not as exciting. Didn't have as many good opportunities to pull out wins.
Dude, I love Coda Mars, man. I can't wait. I need them to announce the next set at their like Gen Con live stream and tell me that Mars is coming back. I need it. I need Mars back. I need it.
It's going to be like the Super Bowl for you. Like, you're just going to get so hyped for it.
Heck yeah. Heck yeah. All right, so that's our team events that we've been playing in. And then you and I are also playing in the Sanctimonious Reversal League, and this Reversal League is also SAS limited to decks that are at least 70 SAS score.
Yeah, that one's been interesting. I've played a couple rounds so far. I'm 1-1, and it's very weird. There's not too many decks that are over 70 rated that are generally bad. And so it's kind of like, okay, what's just kind of awkward or tough to play has kind of been my experience.
Yep.
So I don't mind to go ahead and share what I chose with my deck, because I think it's awful.
Yeah.
And the reason I lost the game, which I can explain in a little bit, is definitely my fault. So the deck that I'm bringing has Triple Gargantodon, And it has a shadow suite that only wants to steal. So it has, like, too much to protect. It has a couple trust no ones in there. There's a few other cards, too. I can't remember if it was a Ronnie or not. But there's just so many of these little, like, steal one, steal a bunch. And with the Gargantitons out there, A, they're massive creatures. And B, instead of stealing, you capture. And so, yeah, you still get to take the amber away, but it doesn't go directly into your pool. And the deck doesn't have good, like, full board controls outside of, I think it has, like, one Axiom of Grisk that you could kill your own stuff with. But again, it's like, you don't really necessarily notice that, like, that's why the deck is so terrible. And so, yeah, the first game, I was able to kind of utilize that to my advantage. The second game, I was a big dummy, and I had an opportunity to, he had a bunch of wards out, and I had double Harbinger of Doom with the Gleeful Mayhem. I was like, oh, watch this. I'll play both of these Harbinger of Dooms down. Gleeful Mayhem, my own Harbinger, and then the wards will get popped, and then the other one will die, and then those creatures will die, and this will be amazing. But what happened was I cleared the whole board, and he had two Gargantodons out, and then I used an Exhum to bring back an Eddy because his deck had two Tau Tau Vapors and two Eddies, which was unreal because I started with them too. So I just had all of my World's Clive Brobnar was stored away. Got all these creatures out, played another Eddy from the Exhum, so I was just super excited, had five cards in the archive. And next turn, I kid you not, he goes Oubliate on the Eddy to get rid of it. Too much to protect, and I was at like 12 Amber at this point. Too much to protect to get me down to 6, and then two Trust No Ones to get me down to like 4. I think he like ended up playing... Yeah, I think it was... Trust No One stole one each. And so... just out of nowhere, because I decided, like, I'm going to do this crazy, cool double Harbinger play. I was like, I instantly regretted that. And I actually almost came back and won. But that was definitely self-inflicted there. It's like, my win condition, knowing, like, how to play against that deck is like, oh, let me just take that away from you. So, yeah. Live and you learn.
Yeah, that's amazing. I'm 2-1 in the league right now.
Nice.
I've used the same deck each time. You can't switch decks. I've used the same one each time right now. It's a deck that has the Cincinnatus Rex Golden Spiral combo, and I think that's why it might be rated a little bit higher. And it does, if you can pull off the combo, like, it's pretty sick, but if someone's playing that deck and they're not familiar with that combo or don't have a lot of experience, like, it can be one of those things where you goof on accident. Like, you take too much damage, you leave him vulnerable to just kill your own creatures, and then it wipes out the Rex. Like, it has a high upside, but also has a really low side. So, so I lost to Mortivas, Twitch streamer. You should check out his stream if you haven't. I lost to him first round, because the deck I gave it, like, has a lot of, like, anti-steal. Like, it's got, like, double Odiac, a Gargantodon, all this stuff. Post Pixies, like, all this stuff, and because I didn't expect anybody to give me a deck with, like, lots of steel in, like, this reversal league, and then he gave me a deck with a bunch of steel, and I'm like, what the heck, like, what am I supposed to do with this? I was like, well played. So I lost to him, but then won my next two. I actually have the next two, at least one of them's on YouTube right now. The next one should go up maybe tonight. For some reason, it's having trouble loading onto YouTube. I don't know why. You can check those gameplay videos out on our YouTube channel. I love this. I do love reversal. I think it requires, like, a different skill set than just Archon, where you can, like, identify important lines of play early on. I also enjoy watching somebody else play my deck, because sometimes, like, you catch things that you didn't, that you'd never thought to do before. Like, I remember early on in Sealed and Worlds Collide, I played a reversal game where they used Golden Spiral to exalt and use a non-Saurian dinosaur, and I was like, oh gosh, I never even thought to use a non-Saurian dinosaur for that, and I don't know why. I'm like, it doesn't say on the card, like, it just says use a creature, and so it was one of those moments, but I wouldn't have maybe not seen that if I didn't play reversal. So in that particular deck, it was, like, really, really good. So Excited for that league. Grateful for, you know, these leagues like the Cody events, the Sanctimonious League. Like, it takes a lot of energy to like organize that for people, and so really grateful for them putting the time and energy behind it and helping people jam out games. I know like Aurora runs weekly tournaments, Mortivas runs some Tesla variants. There's like a lot of people online that like run these things. Archon's Corner, they're like daily quarantine tournaments. Are hilarious. I got tagged a few days ago because one of the stipulation for one of the nights was Wild Wormhole was banned, but you had to play Logos, and so they tagged me a bunch. I was like, "This is a travesty! Like, how dare you ban Wild Wormhole?
How dare they even call that Keyforge at that point? What it's is
not,
that game?
It's not. It's Lock Smelt. It's
Lock Smelt.
That's a week of a shout out to you know who, but if you don't know, you don't know. But anyways, I lost my train of thought. But oh yeah, so just grateful for all these guys putting together stuff online, because during quarantine it's like, man, this has been phenomenal stuff. So grateful for them. And yeah, I know TCO is trying to get mass mutation going. The enhancement thing really does complicate everything, because mm-hmm. the Master Vault's all messed up. So who knows how that'll be, but I don't even care at this point. Let's just play some Keyforge.
I'll say, last thing I want to say about just the tournaments too, is just I would just recommend people just try them out. I mean, there's so many just fun ones. And I think for you and I both, like, as much as we do enjoy the gameplay, it's definitely the community that gets us just the most excited. 100%. It's getting to talk with everybody who's just excited about this game, wants to know more about this, being able to, like, bounce ideas off of them. That's always my favorite part. Even, like, after games, kind of, like, talking through plays or what's, like, their local scene like. I mean, that's just what gets me so excited. And to be able to do that in an online setting, like, that's where, like, my gratitude towards TCO is shown, just because it's... those are opportunities we just wouldn't have. You know, it's tough for us to go to vault tours or even like local primes. We weren't able to make it to too many. So it's just to be able to have that avenue to like reach out, communicate, and kind of see what this community is all about. I mean, it is such a positive group. And so, yeah, I would definitely recommend just get your feet wet and ask questions, and people are always down to help. So.
100%. Feel free to like reach out to us for like suggestions, but all the ones I just mentioned are great. If you're on Discord, you have to join the Sanctimonious Discord. It's just like such great discussion about what's going on in Keyforge, and like great people, like really kind people who are there to like help and have good conversations. Like there's they've successfully kept up any bad apples out of there, so it's been really fun and great place to like even just find games with people too. So that's been good, rather than just like finding randoms on TCO and all that stuff too. Because yeah, like Keyforge is a great game, and playing online, like, again, I'm just so happy we can play online. So anyways, okay. So let's talk mass mutations. And again, it is Christmas Eve and Santa Claus is coming to town. Oh, and yeah. By Santa Claus, I mean, what's like Quixo the Adventurer is coming.
Quixo.
Yeah. He's coming to town and he's dropping off some presents, mass mutation decks. What are you looking for, Jim? What are you excited about? What do you want to see when you crack those decks open?
Oh,
you rip,
man,
those boxes open and you get that plastic that you can never quite open until you work on it for like 3 or 4 minutes, and then you finally open that plastic. What do you want to see? What do you want? Right. What do you want old jolly Quixo to deliver tomorrow?
Let's see. We'll start with some cards that I would love to see. So if I see Shadows in one of my decks, the first thing I'm looking to see is how many copies of Bow Nithing and Radpenny do I have?
Okay, read the cards. Read the cards for those who don't know.
Sure. So Radpenny is a Shadows common card. And it's similar to Urchin, where it says play, steal one. But Radpenny has this cool thing that says when it's destroyed, you shuffle it back into your draw pile. So it's, in my opinion, a better Urchin. So, I mean, Fagin was an incredible card back in the Coda era. as far as being able to recycle those urchins. And again, just you play it, you steal one. It's like a two amber swing with one card. It's really solid. So the fact that you can continuously do that, and if there's multiple copies of Radpenny, you know, you can, if your deck's thinned out, you can consistently draw two or three of these each turn. It's just nasty if you have a deck that can cycle. And then Bow Nithing, I don't have the card pull up in front of me, so I'm going to say what the card does without saying it word for word, so sorry if I mess up the wording a little bit. Essentially what it does is when you play it, it steals one amber for each key your opponent has forged. And so at first you're like, okay, well, early game, the card's terrible. You play it and it steals nothing. It's just this creature out on the board. But the reason I love it so much is because, you know, you don't care about the Ronnie Wrist Clocks early game nearly as much as you do. It's two keys to two keys. They're at seven amber, and you just pulled them off check to pull ahead to win the game. And so Bow Nithing has the upside of your opponent doesn't even have to be at seven amber. You know, you can just play it when it's two keys to two keys, steal that two amber, and then go about your merry business. So yeah, it's a little bit slower. Yes, it could be a dud early game. I just think it has so much upside for the late game that I want to see as many of them as possible. And they're both commons in Shadows. I don't think we've ever had two common cards like that. Like, we had Urchin early on. We had Ronnie Wristclocks the last two. I don't think Urchin was in the last two. I think it was just the first set. Maybe I'm wrong there. But anyway, I don't think we've had it where we've had two common creatures in Shadows that both steal one. And so I just think that gives so much potential. It doesn't have too much to protect this set, so it's not like you can, you know, steal all of but six amber and then, you know, play your Ronnie Wristclocks to get them down below check. But just to have that consistent steal potential, I just think it's fantastic. And it's also cool because you don't have to hold that card back. Like, too much to protect, you have to kind of hold on to it for the right situation to play it. These, you just throw it down. It doesn't really matter how much amber they're at, as long as they're, you know, above zero. So that's what I'm excited about. And then the other card is a Safe House, which I think is in the print and play decks. And that's a Shadows artifact that when you use it, you get to archive a creature that's out on the field. And so what we did when we played the print and play was we'd play Radpenny, we'd archive it with Safe House, and then just get to play it next turn and keep on doing that over and over again. So yeah, I think that card paired with those two cards is sick. That's what I'm hyped for right now.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. Yep. I think that's seems like a good consensus out there of people looking for similar things. You know, for me, like, some people have, like, asked what I'm looking for, like, specifically what kind of decks. And honestly, like, I don't have cards necessarily that I'm looking for as much as, like, I want some really crazy enhanced cards. Like, I was sort of alluding to. Like, I just want – I want to, like, open a deck and I want that card with five enhancements. Like, I just want it. Like, I just – I want to be able to play it and just, like, do crazy things. I think the enhanced mechanic is so interesting because it takes what I love about this game and that we're always playing, like, unique decks, and then it takes those unique decks and makes it even more unique with unique cards within those decks. Because I've played a lot of constructed games. You know, like, I started gaming with Pokemon back in middle school and eventually came back and, like, played, like, the Star Wars LCG and Star Wars Destiny and... like Legend of the Five Rings. Like, there's, like, all these cards with, like, constructed elements where, honestly, like, at certain times in certain metas, I would just get tired of playing the same matchups time after time. It's like I'm on, like, this incessant rewind where it's like I keep replaying this exact moment several times and I just get bored, honestly. And so what I love about Keyforge is, like, the uniqueness of, like, every time I play a game, I'm faced with scenarios like I've never been faced with before, and I'm playing around things I've never. So it, like, forces a little bit more creativity and problem solving and stuff like that. And so it takes what I love about Keyforge and it enhances that.
But boo.
But you're welcome. I'm here all week.
I'm so excited for that one. That was good.
and it makes it even more exciting. Like, it's like, oh man, I've never seen a Keyfrog with to capture a damage and an amber pip. Like, I don't, you know, like, I think that's just going to be interesting to look at these cards and be like, holy cow, that's very interesting. So, yeah, I'm so it's more of like I want to see those types of decks in my pile. Like, I'd be very disappointed. Like, I've seen a couple decks pop up where they only have like one or two enhanced cards, and I'm like, oh, boring. like now it's like I want the enhanced stuff to pop out. And then I would say the other thing I'm looking for is when this game came out and Coda came out, I loved Untamed. Like, Untamed was by far my favorite house. At the release event, they're giving away these cheesy little pins. Say what pin you want, and I'm like, I don't know what I'm even gonna do with a Keyforge pin, but I will take Untamed because that's my jam. And then AOA happened, and it was like, oh, cool, Duskwitch. Wah, wah. and it's like, that's fun, I guess. And then Worlds Collide came out, and it was like, okay, like, Harmonia is cool. That's great. But it just, like, they went all in on this, like, power counter thing, and I'm like, y'all, who cares about power counters? Like, every once in a while, you have a creature where you want it to be, you know, a big creature so that it can't just die really easily. But most of the time, it just doesn't matter. So, like, okay, you know, like, give me my key charge and give me my, you know, the fun stuff. And so I've looked at all the cards in Untamed, and I'm not like, oh my gosh, this is insane. Like, Witch of the Eye, Dust Pixie, you know, Chota type's insane. But I'm like, I'm hoping I can get an Untamed deck with just the right combination of cards that makes it grow. So a couple of the cards I like. Cephaloist. Well, you have four amber or more, your amber can't be stolen. Four power creature. Mutant. It's like, hey, that's great. In the right matchup, like that feels good, you know? Like some of those Coda Burst things that want to bait and switch and too much to protect you, like, that might be okay. People have really poo-pooed on the Dark Fairy, but it's got that skirmish fight gain too. Like, I like that. I like fighting, you know? That's okay. It has pretty low arc score, so people don't like it, but in certain scenarios, I think that's pretty good. Fandangle, which is hilarious, play on Fandango. These are all commons, by the way. While you have four amber or more, your non-untamed creatures enter play ready. So it's like, again, like, rewarding you for having four amber. Like, that, it's a witch, of course, with like a vacuum cleaner on their back. It's hilarious. But like, that's cool, you know? It's not always great, but that's cool. I also love, like, little stuff like Gloriana's Attendant. It just enhances two amber pips on your cards. Like, who doesn't like that? Keyfrog, Ghost Hawk, Lost in the Woods. Eat that, Saurians. Pismire, another common. While there are more friendly mutant creatures than enemy mutant creatures, your opponent's keys cost plus two amber. I like that. It's going to be, like, if you're playing non-mass mutation decks, like, you're getting immediate, like, help from that. So yeah, I'm not saying it's like, oh, this is really like it's clearly like what, like, awesome, but I'm thinking there's enough here to, like, there's enough enhancement to where maybe there might be something great here. Maybe there might be something great.
I would say, I'm surprised you didn't bring up the card Commune. I figured you would love that card.
Oh, I almost did. I literally looked at it. I was like, I do like Commune.
Because, A, it's turn one treasure map.
It is.
So you literally just start the game with four amber. Sounds fun.
We got to read the card.
What?
We got to read the card. It's an Omega Action Untamed. It's an uncommon. It says, play, lose all your amber, gain four amber.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you're going turn one, obviously it's Alpha Omega. It doesn't matter. You can still play it. So you just start the game with four amber, which is sweet. If you're going second, you know, if you have Fandangle, if you have Pismire, you can play those guys, play your Commune, and then you're at that four amber threshold. And so the next turn, you know, you can go ahead and start, you know, utilizing those as much as you want, which I think is awesome.
Yeah. I don't love that they brought back the Nifl Queen and the Nifl Ape. Like, that was such a wah, wah.
Okay, speak for yourself on those. I need to talk about a deck I just picked up, which you know about it. It has 12 Untamed Critters, but it has 3 Hunting Witches with double Niffle Queen, triple Niffle Ape.
Yeah.
I love it. It's so sick.
that's fair.
However, I understand. Normally, not great.
Yeah, I'm just like, look at this. I mean, Word of Returning coming back. Word of Returning is going to be so sick in this particular set with all the little capture pips that are popping up too.
Yeah, with Sanctum especially, as well as Saurian. And then, yeah, Punctuated Equilibrium getting a repeat. That's nasty. So, yeah, there's a lot of good pieces for sure. I do like Untamed quite a bit.
I won't be upset to... pull a Niffle Kong gigantic creature with like 5 Nipple Apes in there. I mean, it's not great, but so Niffle Kong, it's got 12 power, 2 armor, gigantic creature. So the two things it says play, search your deck and discard pile for any number of Niffle creatures, reveal them, put them in your hand, shuffle your deck, and then fight Reap. You may destroy a friendly Niffle creature. If you do, deal 3 to a creature, steal 1, and destroy an enemy artifact. So, if you could pull this off with, like, 5 Niffle Apes, like, that's just going to be hilarious.
You make a good point. I'm even thinking of, like, Khalifi Dragon back in Kota, where it's like, that card wasn't good because it was so hard to pull off. But when you did, man, was it fun.
It just felt and right.
That's how I feel about Niffle Kong. It's like... man, it's going to be so hard to pull that off. But when you do, what a story.
Exactly. This is the Wild Wormhole after all, right?
Right. And if we have an entire set with no Wild Wormhole in the set. Also, if you have a Maverick Wild Wormhole and you happen to draw that in Mass Mutations, please let us know. We will want that.
No, it's it has to be a Maverick Legacy. Remember, they took Wild Wormhole out of this set.
Yeah, sorry. I did mean Legacy. You're correct. Doesn't need to be Maverick. Should be Legacy.
Almost quit Keyforge when I found out they left Wild Wormhole out of this set.
Yeah, we had to get talked out of it. Some guys in Sanctimonious Discord were just like, yeah, if they could survive a whole set with no Sanctum, you guys can survive without one card. We're just like, okay, I guess.
Do we at least have, like, Wormhole Technician in the set? Do we know?
I don't think so.
Man,
no wormholes, no Opie. Opie needs a break. He's been being sucked in that little black hole for way too long. Give Opie a break.
Are we 100% sure? Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
Man, come on, guys. They said we're one of their favorite podcasts, and yet they leave whole wild wormhole out. That breaks my heart.
You know you're about to draw a Legacy Wild Wormhole tomorrow, right?
Dude, like, I will flip out. It'd be like. Yeah, that would be amazing. 100%. We need more wormholes. It's great. All right. Well, Jim, we've got a little segment on this podcast called the Wild Reversal. Why don't you tell our listeners what the Wild Reversal is?
Well, David, I'm glad you asked. Wild Reversal Tournament is a super highly competitive, strictly no fun Keyforge event that David and I do. We like to say every week, but really it's every podcast. So essentially what we do is we have some really funny stipulation, and then we do a reversal tournament with that. And so the first one, for an example, is we had what we call the Narpoth. So both of us had to pick decks with multiple Narps, and then we had to give that deck to the opponent, and we each play against each other with those Narp decks. And then I think we've also done one with like crazy wild wormhole plays with key hammers and board clears and all sorts of craziness. So yeah, there's been a few good ones. I think Strange Gizmo was the last one, even though you never played a single Strange Gizmo.
Yeah, I blame you. The deck you gave me was too good.
Oh my goodness. But the feel behind the event though is if you get the card, you have to play it appropriately. So it's not like, oh man, this card would be terrible here. Here, let me just discard it. Like, you have to play that wild wormhole, and if Keyhammer shows up, sorry about it. That's part of the game. So it's definitely not optimal play. It's much more silly, but that's kind of our idea behind it. And this week, I have another fun stipulation for us.
Well, baby, what you got for us?
All right. So this was something that I think you and I played a sealed game against each other. And one card that we just found hilarious that we both had was this cute little Shadows artifact called Gambling Den.
Oh.
Which, that card, let me go ahead and just pull it up real quick so I can just read what it says. Because it's a mouthful, but man, is it fun. So Gambling Den, it's a Shadows artifact with an Amber Pip. And it says, at the start of each player's turn, that player may choose a house. If they do, reveal the top card of their deck. If it is of the named house, they gain 2 amber. Otherwise, they lose 2 amber. So again, you and I played this match where we each had a Gambling Den. And so rather than playing for 2 amber, we were playing for 4 each call. So as cute as that was, I wanted to go the most wild possible. And so the stipulations for this Wild Reversal tournament is each of us have to have a deck of over 65 sass. We don't play those super awful decks. They have to at least, you know, be somewhat viable. So 65 or greater sass with 2 or more Gambling Dens in them. How do you feel about that?
It's time to gamble.
Let's, no kid. Do we want to play that you have to go for it every single time, though?
I mean,
it sounds like a yes.
It feels right. Feels right to me.
I agree. So we'll say if you have the Gambling Den, you call Shadows, you have to play it. And each turn that a Gambling Den is out, you have to attempt the Gambling Den.
Yep. Yeah.
This is going to be wild. I'm so excited.
I stinking love that. All right. So as we close, we haven't done a King Potato in a minute.
No.
but I'm going to throw something. I tweeted this and it got a lot of response. It was pretty funny. But I was looking up Mass Mutation decks on the Master Vault just to like look at random cards and decks and stuff like that. And I laughed because there's a deck name that FFG managed to slide in one of the greatest knock-knock jokes of all time. And the deck name is Bai Lao Updog Giga Serum. And Updog, UPDOG, is in quotation marks, Updog. So Jim, let me tell you a joke. Knock knock.
Who's there?
Updog.
Updog who?
Oh no, that's not. Come on, Jim.
That's how you do the knock knock jokes.
No, you're supposed to be like, "What's up, dog?" And I'll be like, "Not much. What's up with you?" Bye. Or you could also say, oh, man, it smells like Updog in here.
What's Updog, David?
Oh, not much, man. What's up with you?
See, that works so much better.
Okay. Well, anyways. so they fit it into the deck naming algorithm. So that's another type of deck I want out of Mass Mutation. But I'm going to make you guess the houses of Bai Lao Updog Giga Serum.
Wow. Okay.
And feel free to play at home if you're listening to us.
Okay. Bai Lao. How do you spell Bai Lao? Can you give me the country of origin?
Canada. B-I-L-A-L.
Oh, Bilal. Duh.
Yeah. Bilal A.
Former University of Louisville running back, Bilal Powell. That's how I know that.
Oh, nerd.
I think he played for the Jets. Either he still does or maybe he did for a little bit. I don't know. Someone fact check me on that. All right, so Bilal. Well, Bilal played for U of L, which obviously is red, Cardinals. So it's probably Brobnar there. There with...
This is a Mass Mutation deck.
Right. Oh, Mass Mutation. Yes. I was thinking Worlds Collide for some reason. Okay, so no Brobnar, no Mars. Okay. Man, I was really about to go 0 for 3 by picking that one already.
Mm.
That totally ruined that train of thought there.
Well, you're welcome.
No, obviously, if you played for the Jets, they're green, so that would be Untamed, of course. Silly me.
Yep.
All right, so next part is Updog. Now, Updog obviously was a joke So with the jokes, I think of tricksters, pranksters, and most of those I would expect in good old House Shadows.
Solid logic.
Thank you, thank you. The sneaky little elf thieves they are. Finally, what was the last part of this one?
Giga Serum.
Giga Serum. Okay. Giga Serum. Interesting. So natural Giga, I mean massive, obviously. So it's going to be a house with a large creature. So we're going to rule out Star Alliance and Dis. Giga Serum. So Serum, I think science, I think Logos. Logos is the answer. So therefore, we have Logos, Shadows, and Untamed. That's my three. Game, set, match. We won this.
Wow, Jim, I am thoroughly impressed that you got 0 out of 3 houses correct.
Woo!
This is Sanctum, Sari, and Star Alliance.
Shoot!
That one was pretty tough, I'll be honest. But, you know, it's fine. The Giga part, you did get right. There's a Ducilus gigantic creature in Sarian.
Okay.
So it is right. The interesting part about this deck, it has 4 angry mobs in the Sanctum. 3 smites, which is the ready and fight with a friendly creature, deal 2 to the attack creature's neighbors. And then in Star Alliance, it has 3 of the Mutagenesis Researcher, which is the creature that has enhance with 4 icons. It has the amber capture, damage, and draw card. And it's got 3 spicy of those. So it's like,
I do like that.
3 of those just enhancing the other cards in your deck, like, just feels like it could be nasty. Could be that, but that's the stuff when I open Mass Mutation where I'm like, if I see 3 Mutagenesis Research, I'm like, oh baby, here we go. Let's see what we got.
Stinking go.
Give me something absolutely broken if I play it.
I'm now looking up all of the updog. There's quite a few updogs.
There are a lot of updogs.
That's amazing. Oh, it's so funny. Man, I really went over.
All right. Well, this has been fun getting back to the podcast. I'm gonna get this up tonight. So as people are driving to go get their beautiful Mass Mutation decks tomorrow, hopefully they can listen to it. But that'll do it for us. Like I said, be sure to check out our YouTube channel, youtube.com/thewildwormhole. You can follow us on Twitter at wildwormhole and talk with us there. And just remember, Call of Discovery is a terrible podcast. Make sure not to listen to them.
Okay, that's a little.
I did not start the beef. They said they wanted beef with the podcast. I volunteered as a good wormholian to start beef. So,
I'm gonna kill him with kindness. So, ha ha ha.
Oh my gosh. Well, all right. You're off the podcast next time, though.
It's cool. They paid me to say that.
All right, that's all I got. Jim, any last words?
No. Crack open those KeyForge decks. Let us know some hilarious things that you find, and keep on forging.
All right, thanks for listening, and may all of your wormholes be truly terrible. Bye.
Bye.